It is time to go live on a glorious hump day. And it's kind of funny that when it comes to under the radar stories, we are not celebrating more the retirement of arguably the best LSU football player of the modern era. That is indeed friend of the channel, former surprise PHL guest, Patrick freaking Peterson. Are you kidding me? He decided to announce retirement. You know, he told me this in confidence when I spoke with him earlier this year in Vegas, that he was thinking or leaning towards hanging it up. And today I want to celebrate him because he is one of the reasons why we were able to land DJ Pickett. It was the thumbnail image of hopefully the beginning of the new LSU DBU era. And the way that it is going to work for us to get that DBU swagger back is not only do we need a young LSU defensive back to emerge, we need one to lead. We need one to set the standard. We need one to be that leader. And hopefully DJ Pickett, when he makes plays in front of 100,000 people in Tiger Stadium, he, like Patrick Peterson, would love LSU more than hopefully even Patrick Peterson loved LSU. Because I think that is also what's missing. You know, we look back at all these amazing secondaries that LSU has had over the years. A lot of them were centered around younger players, guys that were good in year one or year two of their careers. And you look at the past couple of seasons, a lot of our better defensive backs were transfers, guys that came in late into the process, guys that were very, 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 very good, like a Jerick Bernard Converse, and others who were serviceable starters like an Andre Sam. The truth is, in order for your defensive back room to be one of the nation's elites, you need actual young studs to come to the forefront, all right? So you take a look at Ohio State. They have the best secondary in college football next year. What did they have? A very special young player in Caleb Downs. Now, they had some other older guys like a Ransom, if you will, but you need young guys that will play multiple years and set that standard. Tyrann Mathieu was a young player. He was great as a true freshman. Patrick Peterson, Trey White was young and explosive in his career. So hopefully this next year, DJ Pickett is not only good, he leads us. And whether he is leading by example or vocally, I don't think anyone would disagree that the leader of the secondary more than likely is going to be Mansoor Delane. He is definitely, to me, the best player in this LSU secondary. And hopefully with those two at corner alongside an Ashton Stamps bounce back season, this could be a very positive room. What about a guy like PJ Woodland? So I wanted to share that to me, my hottest take. You take a look at the poll question. Who is the best outside corner in the history of LSU football? I don't consider Tyrann Mathieu as an outside corner, even though that was his primary position. He played a lot of nickel, as many of you know. So nickel, dime, whatever. He is up there with some of the best LSU football players of all time, him and Patrick Peterson. To me, the best LSU football player this era is Patrick Peterson. 3-year starter out of the state of Florida. He was younger for his class, which made what he did even more incredible. And then on top of that, he set the standard, right? He was a leader for Tyrann Mathieu and Morris Claiborne, not only in college, but for Tyrann in the pros as well. He was the one that started the number seven tradition. Now, were there other great number sevens before Patrick Peterson? Sure, but he was the first that made it the number at LSU when it comes to being the BAMF of all BAMFs on the team. Obviously, number 18 is a little bit different, but he started that. DBU, there was great elite defensive backs before Patrick Peterson at LSU. Elite. A guy like Corey Webster. And ironically, because I am doing a Super Bowl series on Power Hour NFL, I am a huge Corey Webster guy. And on Power Hour NFL, I've been doing, obviously, this Brady series. Corey Webster was the guy that took care of Randy Moss in the Super Bowl. I guess if you take care of Randy Moss in the Super Bowl, you're a pretty damn good defensive back. So Corey Webster was great before Patrick Peterson, but the DBU mantra really started with Patrick Peterson. It really did. I cannot stress enough, there was other great DBs before him. And what do we know about DJ Pickett? Five-star from the state of Florida, an elite five-star in the state of Florida, like Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson played a huge role in his recruitment. So hopefully a new era starts while another one ends. Patrick Peterson, kudos to you. Freaking love that guy. He has turned to golf as well. What's up, Bob? Good to see you. Tony, Cliff, Brian. Now, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I'm still gathering more information here. You guys know, with all of our busy lives, I have noticed that there are more of you that don't care about day-to-day recruiting anymore, especially after the Bryce Underwood saga. Bryce Underwood was photoed today with a beer belly. I'm serious. I'm not going to show you the photo. It's kind of weird. It's just not my thing. But he had a gut. I didn't know Ann Arbor had that food. Could you imagine if he was at LSU? You would have a Zion on your hands. So Bryce Underwood, I think, is going to be special. It's not going to take anything away. But it is another five-star quarterback that LSU is after. And look, this, I do have to shout out our number one on top of everything viewer is probably Julie. Julie really only likes football. And she's a patron. She's obviously given a lot to our channel. And she was the one that was on top of it, texted me, Carter, I'm hearing that Faison Brandon, the current Tennessee commit, that LSU is after him. And they've been after him. This isn't a new story. LSU was recruiting him pretty hard. And there was a time where people felt LSU was in the lead. So Faison, of course, as you can see, currently committed to Tennessee. This is not a transfer portal story. This is a high school player. So he wouldn't be eligible to play, obviously, until next year. But I do want it to be known that LSU is after one of these elite quarterbacks. They want to get one. Obviously, after getting put in the blender there at the end, they want one of these elite guys. It's important to point out that Dia Bell was somebody that they were after. This is the son of Rajah Bell. He ended up picking Texas. So with these five-star can't-miss younger quarterbacks, I don't think in this day and age, unless you are as super-duper diehard of an LSU football fan, it's as important to keep up with this stuff. I also don't think it is as important to get the elite young quarterbacks. I just don't think it's as important because it is such a transfer portal older quarterback game. You know, with Nico at Tennessee, they would have had a year three quarterback whose top backup was a year two quarterback whose third string was a true freshman quarterback. So when it comes to combined years of college experience, those three equal Garrett Nussmeier, who has 5 years, or soon to be 5 years of college experience. Well, actually, that's 6 years. But there's plenty of year six starting quarterbacks. And, you know, I am of the belief that I want my quarterback room to be older. I want at least one experienced guy, unless my quarterback is truly super-duper special. That's why I would push back on a good bit of the DJ Lagway hype. I really would. It is a huge, huge, huge hype cycle coming in with DJ Lagway, who I've seen as the consistent number one quarterback on a lot of people's lists when it comes to the Southeastern Conference. We say hi to Bob once again. Thank you so much for your super. Greg is in here. Greg saw my Instagram skit that I posted. You can check it out for yourself at Card of the Power. I'm not about that life. It was just a joke. There we go. We got some Venmos coming in. That's always a really good thing. And Julie, she says, have you heard any new updates today? Well, I do have one guy in particular whose main thing is recruiting. Now, he loves the actual football itself, but every day I talk to him about recruiting, and he loves it. He's a big, big, big force of what we've done here on PHL. He's probably listening right now, but he likes to stay in the shadows. And when he texted me this morning, I knew that it was real. All right, he doesn't just blow smoke up my ass because he knows how much I dislike following recruiting. I have a disdain for it. And that was pre-NIL transfer portal era. I've always felt this way. It's not why I got into it. In fact, T. Bob Hebert, who many of you know, I am of the belief that shows would be better off just never talking about it. But it's just such a big, big, big deal when it comes to clicks and people being interested. It is what it is. But T-Pop and I used to host a podcast where we refuse to talk about it. Okay. Now, look, do I think LSU is very much in the running? Yes. I think they are sorting out their 2026 recruiting budget, because if you're going to land a five-star quarterback, you better damn well have the money ready. All right, and if you're a five-star, top 10 overall national quarterback, that is minimum a $1.5 million investment. All right, now if you want to take a hometown discount, it's a $1 million investment. All right. He recently told On3, Brandon, that LSU and Alabama as well continue to push. Here's the thing. There will be a quarterback battle this next offseason. It will exist. Garrett is gone. So there will be uncertainty, and immediate playing time is something that a lot of young quarterbacks covet. Now, the last thing that I would mention as far as FaZe and Brandon, and the reason why I think it's important to remain patient, is that LSU's big quarterback year is 2027. Now, why is it 2027? So it's not this next year, but the next when it comes to high school football recruiting. Well, there's two players that you have to keep an eye out for. The first is Colton Nussmeier, who is the younger brother of Garrett Nussmeier. He is a top 100 quarterback for the class of 2027. Then you also have Elijah Haven, who is the number one quarterback for 2027, and he's in Baton Rouge. So if LSU doesn't land either one of those, there are no excuses for that. None. Obviously, you have a huge family tie with one of them, and then with another, you have a local tie. There's not many five-star quarterbacks that have heavy ties to the state of Louisiana. You can look historically, there's not many top 100 quarterbacks that have heavy ties to Louisiana. Obviously, you have Walker Howard, you have Garrett Nussmeier. You have a few, but it's not as fruitful of a position as the other positions are in Louisiana. Obviously, wide receivers being one of them, defensive line when it comes to actual high school recruits, running back, obviously LSU's had a lot of elite running back prospects over the years. So that's also a big factor into this, because one thing you do have to keep in mind with 2027 quarterbacks is they can always reclassify to 2026. It's happened quite a bit, and there is one quarterback currently on the roster that did reclassify, and that, of course, is Colin Hurley. Okay? All right, we say bye to Tony. I have to dip out and call my mom. Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that, Tony. We'll see you back soon, my brother. You know, I'm with you. You got my email, man. Hit me up. But as Pierce points out, there you go. Okay. Greg says, it seems like you're slimming down. Yeah, a little bit. We'll talk more about that coming up. But Julie, thank you so much for your generosity, okay? Now, we do need to get to the flavor of the day, the big story. Nico is taking over the national news cycle. You know, NBA play-in games going on. The thing about the Nico news, he did get a little unlucky that it didn't happen next week because we would be in full NFL draft mode and nobody would really care. But it is the story. It's been the A-block story on all the national shows. It's scandalous. There's parents involved. And as many of you know, I've been compared to this guy, and it's great because I love this guy. Colin Cowherd said something pretty revolutionary earlier today. And I've had the good fortune of working with Colin when I was young in my career. He said quarterback dads have turned into prom moms. And or not prom moms, pageant mothers. All right. Now, I've dated a girl who is like a big pageant girl, won pageants, and he couldn't be more accurate. I mean, pageant moms are a real thing. And it might not be pageant moms as much as it is like there are some crazy dance moms out there, but quarterback dads are divas. More often than not, they are divas, all right? And they are very much involved in their son's recruitment or their story or their career path. And Nico's dad continues to look worse and worse and worse as time moves on. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Nico is leaning towards going to UCLA. So Colin reports that he is going to UCLA. Bruce Feldman, an actual college football reporter, actually also says he is going to UCLA. What makes it kind of awkward is UCLA just had his younger brother flip from UCLA to Arkansas on signing day. A weird thing. All right, let's go to this woman. She says, I don't know why she's in this chat. I've never seen her in my life. She does just happen to have the same last name as me. I'm getting some toothpaste. Do I need shave gel? Random. Who is that? But yes, I could use some. What's up, Tyler? Good to see you. But honestly, I've said what I've said about Nico. I understand the dads, the camps, wanting more money. I've said my piece on it. I will say this, though. And you guys know I'm not a media beef kind of guy. It's just not my thing. I did see a clip earlier today. And I can't play it because of, like, copyright reasons. I might be able to. I did see Ryan Clark say earlier today that when it comes to this, the fans don't matter. Those were his words. He said fans don't matter. Man, that is the exact message we want to be sharing to the people that pay everyone's salaries, which are the fans. It's ultimately who actually does. Now, I understand it's actually the television networks and so on and so on, but it, you know, the fans watch the TV and all that stuff. Y'all, I really do think college football has a messaging problem. And what I mean by that is when you hear that, well, the fans don't matter. No, the fans are everything. The thing that's crazy to think about, especially in this day and age, is that the fans care more about the team than the players do. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. Fans care more. Now, the players care the most about their teammates and the actual situation that they're in. Sure. And they're the ones actually putting their own blood, sweat, and tears into the product. But fans actually are volunteering to spend their time to support these teams. So it drives me nuts when I hear, well, so-and-so's opinion doesn't matter. You the fan, you don't matter. Fans don't matter. It always makes me cringe when I hear that. You do matter. Now, I'm not saying you could just say whatever you want about any one player or situation. You should be respectful. But at the same time, you are the reason why I get to do this. All right. Now, do I get angry at some of you from time to time? Yeah, because some of you are down my necks. Comes along with it. Now, I also saw this. Well, you wonder why Nico transferred. You see how all these Tennessee fans are acting? Really? If Garrett Nussmeier pulled this off on LSU, how do you think you'd feel? You feel some type of way. You would. But Garrett wouldn't do that because he actually cares about being at LSU. He does. I do think it's something for the quarterback to really care about being where they are. Jaden really cared about being in Baton Rouge. He really did. You could see it. He wouldn't be in that building every morning at 5 working on his game. It's part of it. Okay. Let's go to Julie. Another super chat. She says, say we don't offer Colton. Will that hurt us this year? Would Nuss have his feelings hurt? I don't think it would, but I wanted your thoughts on how that would affect things. I don't have LSU's quarterback board in front of me. I don't know if they would prefer him or Elijah Haven or whoever in 2027. They've talked to quite a few QBs in 2027. Yeah, your feelings would be hurt if, you know, like obviously Colton has attended a few LSU games now. Yeah, I think everybody's feelings get hurt when you don't get the LSU offer. It's a dream offer for a lot of these kids. But, you know, I do think when you look at most quarterbacks that are playing Division I Power 4 football and starting for Division I Power 4 football teams, they don't actually start for the school they initially went to. So I say that because I don't think we truly realize how often transfers actually happen at that position. So when it comes to high school football recruiting, these are the positions I think that matter the most. It's not quarterback. It's not. Offensive line is by far the most important. I don't think there's really a close second for me when it comes to high school football recruiting. Now, I will say more so than offensive linemen, just impact players in general matter. So I'm just giving a vague overall positional value how I feel about it because you can't really address offensive line fully through the portal. You can't. So let's just say next season, Braylon Moore and Josh Thompson exceed expectations as transfers on the LSU offensive line. They've mostly worked with the second unit, but I do think they will find their way on the first unit offensive line. Well, it won't matter. It won't matter at all if those two play really well, because you still need three other guys. So you will have needed to develop three other guys for it to work, period. Now, those three guys don't have to be great. They just need to be serviceable. Another thing I feel, and I saw on a small rant about this yesterday, you must understand that depth doesn't really exist anymore in college football. Depth is so hard to get now because you can't really stockpile players the way you used to. You just can't do it. Playing time matters. And the reason why that's important is one injury or one character problem, suspension, any of that can derail your team in a major way. It really can. Let's go to Bob. He says, Carter, how big is how bad is LSU? No, LSU's money's pretty good right now. It wasn't in years past. Well, I'll say this. It's never really been just god-awful, but it's also been one of those situations where we weren't aligned properly, if that makes sense. Alignment matters. It really, really, really does. Okay? Now, coming up next, Kevin wants me to bring up LSU women's basketball and a potential transfer. LSU was able to pick one up, and I will tell you about her right after this.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging. XYAN. Are you a diehard LSU fan and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY. You're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go! Amaya Joyner joins LSU. We referenced this briefly. You can see some of her highlights here. 6'2", 15 points per game, 9.2 rebounds per game on an Eastern Carolina team that struggled, okay? As you can see, she has some passing chops, and she likes to get into the paint. Look at that nasty little crossover pull-up. Love to see it. And this is via Mic'd Up. Oh, look at that layup right there. Oh, behind the back, coast to coast, with the crossover and the pass? Let's go. You love to see it. So, yeah, super pumped up about that. I will say one thing it's interesting when it comes to the eligibility battles of LSU players. I'm a little shocked that there have been a few transfers that have gone into the portal for LSU that still have eligibility remaining. I thought last year Poa had no eligibility. She goes into the portal. Imani Bartlett, who's been with Kim Mulkey since she's been at LSU, she enters a portal. I thought both of their eligibility was cooked. But it goes to show you that Kim Mulkey is making strict roster cuts. So many players that have left. Really, Samaya Smith and last year Poa were the only ones that were players and really the only needle mover that was a very good player was Samaya Smith. This roster is going to look drastically different next year. It is. So I'm really excited about that. I really am. Because these teams have just been too thin. You got to go get some difference makers. So Pierce, this is how I understand it. Since Poa started at a JUCO, they're saying the Pavio ruling goes in her favor. I'm happy she gets another year. You go enjoy it. You will always be remembered at LSU. You will. Now, why should you come to LSU? Well, last year Poa will leave LSU with 167,000 Instagram followers. Bartlett, over 50,000 Instagram followers. Neither, at least Poa played, Bartlett didn't play. Y'all, it's hard to get that many IG followers. You don't get that playing at Florida. You do get that at LSU. You do. Now, Matt McMahon is on the portal chase. I saw that he is heavily pursuing one of the better point guards in the portal today. Pretty interesting. This is a prove it year for Matt McMahon. Prove it, or else LSU looks like they're going in a different direction. I think they should have gone in a different direction already, but I will still cheer for Coach McMahon because I want LSU men's basketball back so bad. I cannot stand not being in March Madness. It would be different if 14 of the 16 SEC teams didn't make March Madness, but that's what happened. I don't want to be two of the 16 that don't get to do something ever. Ever. Think about that. Now, if I was hanging out with friends and I had a group of 16 friends and 14 of them got invited to go do something, I would feel some type of way. But I don't know if I'd ever want to do something in a group of 14. So I don't know if that analogy works out. But you would feel some type of way about it. But it is nice knowing that there's multiple members of the McDonald's All-American game this year that will be playing for LSU next year. And some of them balled out in that game. All right. So we'll take a look at the poll question here from Buster. Stingley is better at the NFL level than he was at LSU. Patrick Peterson winning the poll today. The best outside corner of all time, beating out Morris Claiborne and Derek Stingley in the poll. Okay? Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I will answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, We'll keep it moving. We'll keep going all freaking night long. Okay? Let's see here. You know, I was, I talked about a minute ago, Corey Webster. I have been working on a deep dive. The single most important Super Bowl of all time was the Giants beating the Patriots in the 2007 Super Bowl. And a very underrated thing that happened in the game was the Patriots' left guard got hurt, or the right guard got hurt. Excuse me. Stephen Neal. And they had to put a backup in the game who got torched. So why is that relevant? Well, it goes back to our depth argument from earlier in today's show. LSU, you not only need good starters, it is so much harder to have that one swing offensive lineman that you could rely on. And we struggled to have that. Now, the year before, even though he had a tough year last year at Tennessee, having Lance Hurd was a big deal. It was a really big deal. So having a strong swing offensive lineman is very important. Now, why is that relevant? Well, if LSU this offseason had said, look, we are handing the keys to our transfer offensive linemen, and we're going to let them be the starters. Well, a lot of those guys that have been around here for a while, they would probably already be in the portal. They're still hanging around. You've got to have that strong number six. You just do. It is so important. It could be the difference between a natty and a non-natty. Let's see. This comes in from Trey. I don't think he's watching the show, but he just he sent me a message. What do I think about Carson Beck at Miami? I don't know. Not really my concern. Not really my concern at all. You know, we don't have to play him. Obviously, he's in the ACC. I do think he's going to do well. I do think he's good. I think that wide receiver room at Georgia had its issues. But I also think Carson Beck is a very distracted individual. I also think a lot of players are distracted now. You know, money changes everything. It really, really, really does. And I am not a super diehard NFL draft analyst. I just kind of want to be one because it meshes my two favorite things together. College football and the NFL. I watch the NFL draft very closely. All right. I think a lot of us do. With that said, though, I kind of find a lot of it pointless. I like there being stakes in the predictions that you make. There's not really a whole lot of stakes when it comes to the NFL draft. There just isn't. You know, so much of a player succeeding or failing can just come down to situation. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield started off in rough situations. They got older. They got in better situations. They're both really good players now. Baker is borderline top 10. He probably is top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I don't know. I'm thinking about that for a little bit. But I keep going back to, you know, when it comes to like Will Campbell or Shador Sanders or any of them. You know, with me, I think Shador needs to be in a certain situation. I think the Saints situation is actually fine for him. But now, you know, it's looking more and more likely that not only is he going to be a first half of the draft, maybe a first five picks of the draft selection, Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuck, they are starting to get steamed up. And one thing we could say, Diana Russini, one of the best insiders in the NFL, she says the Saints are definitely drafting a quarterback in the first couple of rounds. You better be ready for it. You better be ready for it. I do think, though, like, when it comes to the NFL draft, I don't watch as much tape as, like, a Mike Renner or someone like that. When I did, though, and I got my hands on some All-22, and I watched so-and-so do this or that, it did seem that there were more players than I could remember just going through the motions. Very anecdotal. There's no way I could prove this. It could just be that I'm getting older. I don't know. But I begin to wonder, hey, do a lot of these kids care? Do they care? Let's go to Mayhem. Oh, man, I'm sorry about your Grizzlies last night, man. Now, there you go. You're saying the Grizzlies are number one. I like it. He says, I wonder what Morris Claiborne's PFF grade was because he was for show clamp. He was very good. Morris Claiborne was very, 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 very good. I'll tell a Morris Claiborne story. So before the national championship game on 1-9-12, I was able to interview Alabama offensive coordinator Jim McElwain. And I was able to talk to him for a very long time. And he kept saying over and over and over in the interview, we are going to focus on not losing the game because we beat them early in the year by making fewer mistakes. And after the game, A.J. McCarron made it clear that one thing that they were not going to do is throw the football in Morris Claiborne's direction at all. Because Morris had a huge pick in that game that led to a field goal earlier in the season. And what did they do? They didn't even bother to throw in Morris Claiborne's direction. And it wanted nothing to do with them. And because they were able to do what they did defensively, Tyron really couldn't do anything, and our superstar defense really couldn't do anything. They just made fewer mistakes this time around and made a few more plays than we did. But that's how good Morris Claiborne was. They said, we are not going to let number 17 decide the national championship. We're not even going to bother looking in that direction. And to this day, he is the single most surprising bust in LSU history. Barkevious Mingo kind of sort of made sense that it didn't work out because, you know, in college, he was kind of more of a run and chase guy instead of this elite pass rusher that teams thought he was going to be. Morris Claiborne was incredible in college. In freaking credible. I don't know how it didn't work out in Dallas. They traded up. Every single human being was complimenting that pick. Every single one. It was worth what the Cowboys did. And it didn't work out. I got a Morris Claiborne Cowboys signed jersey. Thanks to our guy Tyler over here. But, man, he was good. He was so good. I'm glad you brought him up.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they did not. They were not going to let Morris or Tyron beat them. They just weren't. And I get that. I do. You know, one thing I was thinking about last night, Pierce loves the NBA more than I do. I love the NBA.
I just do.
It's interesting how late these NBA games end during the playoffs, right? So, last night, Golden State versus Memphis ended, like, very, very, very late. Very late. To stay up to watch the end of that game, you needed to be up to, like, what, 11:30 Central? Which is 12:30 East Coast? And then here's the thing. If you watch a great game, you can't just go to sleep. You have adrenaline pumping through your veins. Now, I think a lot about our English LSU fans. Shout out to you, Alex. Shout out Yusha in Ukraine. Shout out everybody over there. They got to watch LSU football games at 3 in the morning. But in the continental U.S., I couldn't imagine being on the East Coast time zone. Think about all those big market cities in the East Coast time zone. Miami, Atlanta, New York, D.C. I mean, huge, 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 huge coastal markets. Charlotte, where Steph Curry is from. They got to stay up until the ass crack of dawn, basically, to watch the end of these games. So, as a super diehard sports fan, I would love to live in California, Seattle, anywhere, so I could get the earliest sports time zone. I think about that all the time. I really do. I really, really, really do. It's like, holy crap. And I think now fans just aren't going to stay up to watch anymore. You can watch all the highlights on YouTube now. And this is also very interesting. You know, when you do the YouTube thing, you do a lot of like analytical studying and all of that. YouTube, 40% of all viewership is now on television via the YouTube app or someone airplaying the video on a bigger screen. So it's not people just watching on their computers or on their phones. It's people watching on a big screen. It's crazy. Now, tomorrow, LSU baseball does play. All right, so we do want to work around that. First pitch tomorrow, though, is at 7. So I kind of want to go live at 6. It'll either be a live stream or a pre-recorded film study tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. Big shout out to our top super chatter on YouTube. It was Bob, and LA Mom was very generous in the Venmo world. We really appreciate each and every one of you. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. And tonight, we are doing steaks. Let's go. Let's go.